A reading from Titus, the third chapter. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
One of the treasures of the Lutheran Church from its origin is the place it allows in teaching for the realities of hardship and suffering and disappointment. Ours is not a church that talks about victorious Christian living as if difficulties, sorrows, and failure could never impinge on the baptized child of God. Our theology has a place for Jesus' warning, in the world you will have tribulation. We don't deny the truth, St. Paul confessed. For the Lord's sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Our theme hymn in these midweek Advent services, "The Night Shall Soon Be Ending," makes this very clear in its closing verses. The hymn began addressing all you whom darkness frightens with guilt or grief or pain, with the encouragement, God's radiant star now brightens and bids you sing again. It went on to assure those who know their guilt that they need not cower before God, for through his redemptive power, he has reconciled all those who trust in Jesus. The third verse, which we considered last week, told of God's eternal plan for mercy, bringing about a new creation, beginning with the birth of Jesus, his Son. This gospel, good news concerning reconciliation with God and a new creation, both of which are effected and accomplished through the person and work of Jesus our Savior, is wonderful to hear. God has taken care of the problem of your sin. You don't have to earn your way into his good graces, something the scriptures declare to be utterly impossible in any event. Nor do you have to suffer the punishment you deserve because of your failures to be holy, perfect, and completely above reproach according to God's exacting standards. By his perfect obedience, and by his innocent suffering and death in your place, Jesus has reconciled you to God. All of this is true and is the best of good news, for its consequences are eternal. This doesn't mean, though, that everything we experience in this life will be wonderful if only we trust in God. With the promise of a new creation still echoing in our ears, the poet continues, "Yet nights will bring their sadness and rob our hearts of peace, and sin in all its madness around us may increase." The reality of being reconciled with God doesn't mean that we'll never know any sadness in this life. Sadness still comes on account of the darkness that entered the world when Adam and Eve ate what God had not given them to eat. Sadness comes when you experience death and separation here in time. Separation that is the continuing result of sin. Sadness comes when you see those that you love making decisions that are harmful to them, that put them in danger and in opposition to God. And all of the things that cause sadness can rob our hearts of peace. The fightings and fears within and without are unsettling. Tribulation and distress and persecution and famine and nakedness and danger and sword. All things that Christians have experienced again and again since St. Paul wrote that list. These things assault us and rob us of peace. And sin, in all its madness, around us may increase. The scriptures suggest that as the days go on, this world will get worse, not better. The atrocities this past weekend at Brown University and Bondi Beach and in the patricide and matricide of Rob and Michelle Reiner reveal that madness of sin all too clearly. There's a reason why the elder addressing John refers to the saints in glory as those who have come out of the great tribulation. And sadly, it's not just around us that sin and all its madness is evident. You see the madness of sin within as well. When you fall once and again into the sin you so desperately wanted to leave behind. St. Paul knew this reality well. "I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing," he writes. "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" But now one star is beaming, Jesus Christ. His rays have pierced the night. God comes for our redeeming from sin's oppressive might. Sadness and sin persist, but not just these things. God comes for our redeeming. Jesus came to earth over 2,000 years ago to redeem you from sin and death and the devil. But he didn't come just that once, finish his work, and then go away until his return at the end of time. No, still today he comes for your redeeming. Comes in his word to convict you of your sin, lest you begin to imagine that you have no need of him. Comes also in his word to forgive you, lest you despair that because of your sin, he's had it with you and wants nothing to do with you. He comes in holy baptism to claim you as his own dear brother or sister. And from that moment on, when God looks at you, he sees his beloved Son, Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, Paul writes, you have been clothed with Christ. So long as you trust in Jesus, he continues to be your coat and covering. Through repentance and faith, your baptism is made new every morning. You are protected and covered and made holy by Jesus each day. But that's not all. Jesus comes in his word, I forgive you all your sins. As often as you sin and turn to him again, he speaks these words to you, restoring you, forgiving you, assuring you that he has paid for more sins than you could possibly commit. He extended this authority to forgive to his apostles and their successors, saying, if you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven, so that you and I could be as sure and certain of Jesus' forgiveness as if he came to us and spoke to us himself. And of course, he comes to you not just by words in your ears, but also in your mouth, as he gives you his true body with the bread and his blood with the wine, the very price he paid for your redemption. For you, he says, all for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, to give you life and salvation. It's true, God dwells with us in darkness and makes the night as day. Yet we resist the brightness and turn from God away. But grace does not forsake us, however far we run. God claims us still as children through Mary's infant son. God bless you to rejoice in his most gracious gift, forgiveness and life in his Son, and keep you in repentance and faith until the day that he brings you whole. In Jesus Christ, your Savior. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.
My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has regarded the holiness of his handmaiden. Behold, from this day all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things to me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. My rejoices in God, my Savior. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices. thou the mighty from their thrones, and has exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior.